Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane, and your host is psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And I'm joined by his son, Ryan Dobson. And Ryan, as the proud mom of four kids, you know, I know firsthand the joy of being at home when my children were in their younger years. It took a lot of planning, but most of the time I was able to juggle my work schedule around that so that I could enjoy those formative years.
Well, and you were home at those times, but how did you handle the schooling aspect?
We did not officially homeschool. We actually were in public school and then later moved them into a charter school, which is still in the public school district, but it took a lot of work.
Well, it is a dilemma that a lot of parents face today. Laura and I have and are continuing to face that dilemma with our kids. Many would like to homeschool their children, but have reservations about it, either personally or socially with their kids, saying, well, I don't remember anything I learned in school. How am I going to teach my kids? Or they're going to lose all their friends. What do I do about that?
Or you're even just worried about how much work it is.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Well, and then the big one, can we afford to have a parent stay at home?
Yeah, these are all legitimate questions, Ryan, and yet many parents still need to research these alternatives, and really, as we're indicating here, for many families, homeschooling is an answer to those prayers.
Well, today we're going to talk to former television actress and well-known home educator Lisa Welchel about her family's experience and her book, So You're Thinking About Homeschooling, 15 Families Show How You Can Do It.
Sounds encouraging, doesn't it?
It does.
She is an author, popular speaker, and is enjoying watching her three now adult children launch lives of their own. So here now on this Family Talk broadcast is Dr. James Dobson to introduce our guest.
Today's guest is Lisa Welchel. She will be remembered as a child and teen actress who I think began her acting role as a member of the Mouseketeers, the new Mickey Mouse club. Isn't that right,
That's
Lisa?
That's right. That's right. The one in the 70s, not the 50s or the 90s, yeah. The group from the 70s.
Okay, I want to hear you sing. You've forgotten the words, haven't you?
No, I remember the words. It's the Facts of Life theme song I've forgotten. There are too many words in that one.
Yeah. Well, you enjoyed that era, that period of your life.
Very much.
But that's behind you.
It is.
And you've turned a corner and you're doing a lot of other things now.
Moved on to bigger and better things, being a wife and mother.
The Facts of Life aired on television for nearly a decade, didn't
it? Yes, 9 years.
And you played Blair.
That's right.
Many of our listeners will remember you on that show. I guess, are you still recognized in airports and in public?
I'm recognized now more than I was, in the last 20 years, just because it's on reruns and all over the cable.
Is it on reruns now?
Yes, and there's a whole other generation that's recognizing me, so it's quite fun.
How do you feel about the work you did there?
I'm thrilled with it. It was a lot of fun. I had a great time.
You don't regret being a child actress? You didn't give up anything?
Oh, I gave up lots, but that's just life. You know, you're going to give up something to get something else.
Those are the facts of life.
There's the facts of life. That's right. That was smooth.
You were, you might call homeschooled. You were schooled on the set, weren't you?
That's right.
Yeah, so that's kind of where you got a feel for homeschooling.
Do you know that it didn't dawn on me that I was homeschooled until I'd been homeschooling my kids for about 5 years? Because I thought of it as being tutored on the set. But in reality, I was just bringing my work from school to the set and teaching myself with help from a tutor, which is very much what we're doing at home.
The last time you were here, as I recall, you and your family were taking a year-long trip, if you will, in a motorhome with your three kids and your husband, and you were in the midst of all that.
Yes.
How'd that turn out?
It was the ultimate field trip. We visited 44 states and went over 50,000 miles and discovered America and, more importantly, discovered each other. It was definitely the trip of a lifetime.
Did you start to go crazy cooped up with three kids?
Surprisingly not, and I think maybe it's because we spent so much time together, that we just, we got used to each other and enjoyed each other's company. We were all that we had, so we glued together.
Well, you've now written a book called So You're Thinking About Homeschooling, 15 Families Show You How You Can Do It. And you must be excited about this.
I'm very excited.
Your previous book was Creative Correction.
Right.
And we talked about that here, and you had some great ideas there. That book's still available, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and I recommend it.
Oh, good.
Which should thrill your heart.
Absolutely.
Well, here's another one that people are going to be interested in, especially those who are thinking about homeschooling. So you kind of cut your teeth in homeschooling on that trip, or had you done it before
that? We've homeschooled our children all their life from the very beginning.
But it's going well.
It is. It's been a great thing for our family. We dabbled in it, just kind of just trying it out a little bit, but it was a perfect fit for each one of the kids for different reasons, and it was a perfect fit for my personality as well. So it's been a good thing.
You have made it clear in this book that homeschooling is not for everybody. That it can be very, very tough. In fact, it usually is tough. And yet, you're excited about it. So am I. Tell me why.
I just think that, first of all, it's not for everybody. At the same time, it's too wonderful of an opportunity not to at least look a little bit deeper into it before you decide it's not for you. Because I think most people would be surprised. I think they have kind of a stereotype in their mind of what a homeschooling family looks like. And if they don't fit that family or their personality doesn't fit what they think the homeschool mom looks like, then they'll just discount it and say, well, I'm thinking about it, but I could never do that. And so the book is written so that people will be able to see different ways people homeschool and fit it into their family and maybe recognize themselves within the stories and gain the confidence that they can do it, or just underline the fact that there is no way I could do this, and at least we've settled that issue.
And you leave room for those who draw that conclusion.
Absolutely. That's very important.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the concerns that parents have when they consider homeschooling, because there are anxieties associated with moving in this direction. One of them is that they don't think they can do it. Address that. You don't have to be a college graduate to do this, do you?
No, and I'm the prime example. Basically, I have a sixth grade education. That's as far as I went through public school. Then I moved to California to be on the Mickey Mouse Club at 12. And I had tutors on the set, but it was very sporadic. And I had some curriculum that I would use on the set, but I basically taught myself. And then at 16, I said, forget this. And I did an accelerated course. I did 2 years in one and then just graduated to put it behind me. And the truth is, when I look back on my education, most everything that I am using in life now, I taught myself, learned through experience, or through really good books. And so I think that parents, if they only understood that the best education doesn't necessarily mean just through textbooks, that there are many different ways to give your children a rounded education.
Well, consider the education you gave your kids in that year that you spent on the road. I mean, imagine being in all those cities, all those places, and all those settings. I'm sure you stopped along the way.
Oh, yes. That was a focus of the trip.
Went to museums, and there are all kinds of learning experiences. Now, not everybody can do that, but there are many things that people can do without necessarily poring over a textbook, especially in the elementary school years.
And also those experiences that my kids had on the trip, or even experiences they've had just reading good books aloud, those are the things that stick, because they have something to attach them to, whether it's something they've been or something they've been able to see or touch or have in a story. And so that's the kind of thing. They're interested in it. They're going to want to know about it. And then it's going to stick, rather than just memorizing a bunch of facts and dates in order to take a test and then forgetting it, which is an awful lot of school sometimes.
What about the concerns for financial pressures? You know, people feel like they absolutely have to have two incomes today to stay alive. Some people do need to do that. Not everybody does. What about those who say the sacrifices would just be too great?
Well, my first answers would be the sacrifice of your kids is really, I think, just too great to not really seriously look into making a few sacrifices financially. And I think that that's the second key, looking into it. I think that if they look into it, they may be surprised at how little that second income is actually bringing in. And that's one of the stories in the book is about a woman who had a second income and they thought they needed it. But just by eliminating the extra car, the extra dry cleaning, the extra gifts at the office, the daycare, all of that, she realized there was really very little left over that she was able to contribute to the family.
After paying taxes and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. What about the concern over the inability to handle differing age groups? You know, if you've got 5-6 years between the first and the last child, or maybe even more, and that means you've got to plan different lesson plans, different activities for each child, how do you get all that together?
Well, that's just the beauty of homeschooling. It is so very flexible, and you really can tailor it to your family, not only to different age groups, but different learning styles. And so if you have a large family, we have 3 kids, and I teach them individually their math and language arts, but science and history and Bible and all the rest of that, we do together as a family. And so it is a lot more fun and continues to draw them closer together, and they're not so separated. And as they get older, and depending on the age groups, yeah. I have one very independent learner. She goes off and does her own thing so that I can spend a little bit more time with my son, who likes to have me sitting there most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, you were in a post office. You tell a story in your book. It's delightful. Tell what happened.
This was just recently. I was delivering a bunch of packages to the post office, and I was in line. The kids were waiting in the lobby, and I walked out, and the kids told me this story that a police officer had come up to them and said, "What are you doing out of school in the middle of the day?" And they said, "Well, we're homeschooled." And I guess he didn't agree with homeschooling. He began to just drill them with facts. Okay, well, you know, tell who's the second president of the United States? Who's the 16th? Why is the White House white? What a state in the Union could be its own, you know, country at any time. Because we had been on this trip, though, just the year before, and because we learned an awful lot about American history, my kids could answer most all of the questions that he asked. So much so that as we were walking out and they were telling me this story, he drove by and he stopped and he backed up and he rolled down his window and he yelled at me. He said, "Good job, Mom. You got some bright kids there."
Oh, really? That may have been the most genuine compliment you've ever received,
exactly.
Don't you think? Was he on any kind of official mission there? Was he looking for truants?
I don't think so. I think he was just in the post office and noticing there were some kids at home in the middle of the day.
All right. Address the bottom line in this. To parents who are, as you say in the title of your book, so you're thinking about homeschooling, the bottom line is you can do it?
I would say the bottom line of the book is don't say you can't do it until you look a little further into it, because you may be surprised. Probably the reason you're thinking about it, I would warrant a guess that maybe it's just that still small voice that's saying you can do it. And if you would just look at, if you can see the different families, you might recognize yourself in one of them, because the families profiled in there, everywhere from grandparents that are homeschooling, single parents that are homeschooling, only children, 7 kids. There's not a typical homeschool family.
Yeah. I was reading just recently that 1.7 million kids in the United States are homeschooled. And furthermore, homeschooling is now taking hold in the UK and South Africa, all over the world. That basic idea is really catching hold. I hadn't heard about it when our kids were young, but we would have probably done that. Shirley is a teacher, and we probably would have done it if I'd had that option, but I didn't think about it. But I have just seen the effects of it. I mean, it maximizes the spiritual potential, the developmental potential, and the academic potential in the kids. What other assets do you need to homeschool successfully? You listed a lot of them in your book.
You know what? I would say there would be 2 assets that would be very important. Number one, the ability to enjoy your children, because you're going to be with them a lot, and you need to enjoy them and enjoy the fact that they're just children. If you have a hard time with them not being little adults, then you're not going to enjoy them being children, and you're not going to enjoy the learning curve, because that's what childhood is all about. It's learning. It's not being perfect. And so I would say just the ability to be able to take a break and relax and step back and not have to accomplish so much on your agenda that you miss out on the moments, the teachable moments. You miss out on just the fun times with your kids. And the most important asset is not to try to do all things and not to try to do anything in your own strength, because you'll burn out. And so to have a quiet daily time with the Lord in order to be the strength in, that will enable you to do all things. But then again, I just said not to do all things, didn't I?
You know what I love about moms is they are usually so committed to those kids. I mean, they give their lives for those kids, you know. Most mothers have that tremendous commitment and that tremendous desire to serve. And it's a wonderful thing to see.
I always find it surprising when people, most of them either don't have children or they're male, say, you know, how could you lay down show business and fame and fortune and all that you had going for you just to stay home with your kids? And there's no comparison. I just went from a really great thing to an even better thing. I did not sacrifice a thing to be home with my kids. I consider it a luxury to be home with my kids.
You have not looked back.
Not for a second. Ah. No.
Lisa, you've made reference two or three times so far in this discussion to Bible studies and to spiritual growth of your children and so on. You have been a committed Christian for a long time, haven't you?
I have, since I was 10 years old.
The last time you were here, you talked about how that happened. I think that's worth repeating.
Okay. I often wish I had a better testimony, because it's not like...
You got a great testimony.
Well, you know, but I always thought that if I was going to go out and give my testimony, I needed to be, you know, say like I was drying out in a jail cell coming down from drugs, and I met Jesus and then wasn't the same 10-year-old after that. I went to Sunday school because they served donuts and orange juice. And then what happened after that really was I couldn't have put these words to it at the time, but I knew that every time I walked into that church that my heart had found its home. And my Sunday school teacher said, well, what you're feeling is the love of Jesus, and you can ask him into your heart and take that home. And as a kid, I said, well, I want that. And I'm sure that's why the Lord tells us to come to him as children, because I didn't have to have it all figured out, and I didn't learn until later all the other added benefits that came with bringing home the love of Jesus, like forgiveness of sins, for instance. But it was obviously enough, because it stuck, and there really was never a time in my life where I walked away or had any major backsliding. It's always been the center and focus of my life.
Would you say, and I don't put you on the spot here, but would you say that effort to evangelize your own children is the most important thing you're doing through homeschooling?
That is our personal goal. Now, there are many goals. There are the, you know, academic goals, and they're worthy goals, and you really can provide an excellent education for your children through homeschooling. Socially, a lot of people say, you know, what about socialization? Well, I think that's such a silly question, really, because for one thing, I don't think I want my kids in the socialization that goes on in public school, for one thing. The second thing is, the question of socialization in homeschoolers is usually how not to be too socialized so that you can get some schoolwork done. They are usually as involved in as many activities as any other kid. But our goal is definitely to have the time to invest in them spiritually. And that's the key, the time. You can maybe have a little time with them before they go to bed, but most of the moments that you're going to find are going to be when they're rising up and when they're sitting down and when you're walking down the road, and that doesn't happen unless you have the time to spend with them.
Yeah, the bogus claim that homeschool children are weird is weird. It just is not true. I have not found that to be the case. The
opposite is true. Homeschool children are delightful.
And many of them are doing as well as anybody else in the university setting. It's amazing how they very frequently win the spelling bees on a national level and all the other things. We're almost out of time, Lisa, but there is one reference in the book to a misconception about homeschooling, and I'd like to end with this. Now, this is what parents think when they think of homeschooling. While Junior prepares for his meeting with the mayor to discuss community service opportunities for local youth, I grind wheat harvested from the back 40 to make fresh pasta for dinner while helping my kindergartner memorize the periodic table of elements. My oldest daughter hand stitches the final square on the quilt that she's entered into the county fair after helping her little sister learn to read in French. Thankfully, my toddler is content in the other room building a working windmill out of clothespins. We can't wait for Papa to return home from his mission trip so we can tell him the good news. Bubba scored a perfect 1600 on his SATs. Sissy won the Our Little Miss Perfect pageant. Junior is the youngest child ever to win the International Spelling Bee. And Bubba Jr. potty trained himself because he wanted to honor his parents. It's not quite that way, is
it? It's not quite like that. And unfortunately, a lot of people pick up books and that's what they read and they think, oh, I could never do that. And so they just give up on the idea of homeschooling.
It's really a pretty normal thing to do.
It is very normal, and it can be any way you want it to be.
And it is not necessarily stereotypical, because homeschooling can mean many, many different things. It can be a mother-led homeschool. It can be a mother and father-led homeschool. It can be a single mother homeschool. It can be a grandmother homeschool. Or as you said and demonstrated, it can be a school on the road as the family travels together. It can be many, many things, sometimes in textbooks, sometimes in experience, sometimes in both, sometimes through the internet, which is what you're doing now. Your three kids do their educating through the internet.
That's right. And it can also be different within the same family. For instance, all three of our children, homeschooling has been great for them for different reasons. Our son being ADHD, it's really good for him, I think, to protect his self-esteem. I'm concerned if he was in a regular school and needed to be quiet and still with 30 other kids and focus, that he would probably be in trouble all the time. And he would get the message, I'm a bad kid and I'm a dumb kid. So it's been good for him to be able to nurture his self-esteem. My daughter is a gifted student. She's doing 2 years in one, and with her focus on going to college by the time she graduates and then becoming the first female president of the United States. And then our little one is very sensitive and very spiritually attuned, and it's a time for her to be able to focus on being a wife and mother, learn how to be a wife and mother. That's her goal in life, and so I can have the time to train her. So it really can be all things, even in different things, within the same family.
And every child is different.
Exactly.
The title of the book is So You're Thinking About Homeschooling, 15 Families Show You How You Can Do It by Lisa Welchel. And Lisa, I'm delighted that you're continuing to write. You have a following out there that is excited about the things that you're doing. When you get your next book finished, come see us, will
you? Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's always good to have you here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
What a great thought. Homeschooling can be all things within the same family. And Ryan, I know I really appreciated how Lisa described homeschooling as strengthening her child's weaknesses and nurturing their talents. Recently, we spoke with Lisa, caught up with her, and she told us you will love this. She just returned from a two-week hike around Europe with her girls, where she says she enjoyed the best gelato on the planet and celebrated the engagement of her oldest daughter.
What a great way to commemorate that.
That's absolutely fabulous.
How much fun. And clearly, she's developed a great relationship with her kids that continues on to this day. I have to say, while we've acknowledged that homeschooling may not be the right option for everyone, I really believe that this conversation has probably sparked some thought and provided some encouragement to parents maybe who are considering homeschooling. So if you've enjoyed the broadcast today and either you're thinking about homeschooling or you know a family who is interested in homeschooling, maybe you'd like to request a complimentary broadcast CD for yourself or to pass along to friends. We'll also have links to a program on homeschooling from the St. John's, and those can all be found at drjamesdobson.org.
You can tell that we really, really want to encourage those of you who are thinking right now, maybe I can do this after all. There really are a lot of examples in Lisa's book from the families she interviewed that can come alongside you in learning more and coming to a decision point. Lots of tips about how you can get started in planning to educate your children at home.
Well, Luann, you're right. This time of the year is when we're thinking about back to school. Lincoln's new school backpack just arrived in the mail, and it has an L for Lincoln on it.
Congratulations. He can wear that around the house.
He does. He wears it all the time now. The title of the book is called So You're Thinking About Homeschooling, 15 Families Show You How You Can Do It. And to receive a copy of this book or to find information on the others that were mentioned today, please visit our website, drjamesdobson.org. Or if you'd like to call us, our number is 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825.
And if you'd like more information on all the new and exciting things Lisa Welchel is involved in this year, maybe a couple more backpacking trips across the nation, or to find out where she will be speaking, you can find that information as well at drjamesdobson.org.
You know, Luann, I consider it a privilege to bring an array of programs like this and many others to our listeners throughout the year. However, we cannot continue to do that without the support of our faithful listeners. Mm-hmm. So when you visit our website or call us, please consider donating to the Ministry of Family Talk.
And Ryan, let me just sneak in here that one great way to do that would be by requesting a copy of this month's 3-CD set. It's called The Heart of the Home, which lines up perfectly with what we've been talking about today. Again, drjamesdobson.org.
And while you're at it, let us know the call letters of the station you listen to, or if you subscribe to satellite radio.
Yes.
We're now heard on America's Talk, XM Channel 166. At 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 Pacific.
Thanks so much for joining us today, and we do invite you back next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We'll see you then.